is the fourth look that we've had at Letter of Galatians, and just apologize for the slight recap, but it's worth thinking about the argument so far, because it's quite a close argument that Paul is making here. And what he's doing is, to this group of churches in Galatia, is saying, look, how is it that you've departed from the simple gospel so easily? And the reason was that people had come from Jerusalem saying that it's all very well believing in Jesus, but you've also got to obey the law. Now, Paul is trying to say there's nothing wrong with the law in itself, but it's not the way that you get saved. It's a gift. It's through grace. And he's been doing this argument that, it's all about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Simple as that. But the thing was that he was shocked how quickly they moved away from the simple gospel. And that these people had very easily seemed to have derailed them slightly and said, oh yes, it's good to believe in Jesus, but we also need to follow the law and be circumcised and all the rest of it, just to make sure, or just so we can contribute something to our salvation. Paul says, no, that is not the gospel. And we come to the great conclusion here in this part of his argument. So if you look at on the order of service, page 5, so this is his great conclusion. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. In fact, that's a bad translation. It should be, so in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. But in our very modern world, someone thinks that somebody may get upset with just saying sons. But let me assure you, at the time, the women wouldn't have got upset by that. To our modern ears, it sounds a bit strange to say sons. The point about being sons at the time was that you also were heirs, you inherited. You couldn't inherit as a daughter, which seems very strange to us, but at the time it wasn't. So there would have been women there who would have said, you mean I'm a son? I'm counted equal with a man? Yes, you are, says Paul, because in Jesus there is no distinction. Do you see that in verse 28? Neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Why? Because, of course, the gospel is about promise. God says, here is my gift of forgiveness through Jesus, and it doesn't matter who you are, tall or short, wide or thin, male or female, doesn't matter what you are, it is your gift, and you're counted as equal. So this would have been fantastic news for women in the church, as well as to the men, but to the women, because you're counted as a man. Now, of course, to our 21st century ears, that seems maybe slightly patronizing, but the point is this: Paul is not, as so often portrayed, as against women, misogynist. He's not at all. He's the opposite when you read him carefully. So here it is. Here is what the gospel is. You're all children of God through faith. You're in Jesus because, look at verse 29, if you belong to Christ and you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. Because when Abraham, when God first spoke to Abraham, God just said, here's a promise, Abraham. You're going to have a nation more than all the stars in the sky and all the sand on the seashore, and here's the promise. And Abraham kind of, great promise. Then did what God said and went to the land of Ur and all the rest of it. But it was just a promise. And so then all the years later, you and I are part of that promise. So that's the scope of the gospel. Abraham and you and I are part of that. And so it's a gift. We just receive it. Then the big question is, well, how then do we live? Well, we'll come on to that next week and the week after. Well, the next time we meet and the last time we meet as well. But we have to get it straight. You are a son of God because he made you a son of God. And we're going to find out it's all about adoption. So it's really important to get the gospel right. It is about a gift. And it's so simply, it sounds incredible. That's why through the ages people have added to it, thinking, well, it can't be just like that. It can't be that God just gives you forgiveness through Jesus and then says, well, just live for me now as a son and daughter. It can't be that simple. Well, it is. But that's why the church history is littered with people adding things, thinking, well, we've got to contribute something. It's got to be something we do. No, nothing. You are a son and daughter. And I'm sorry if you've heard me wax lyrical about this before, but of course it's part of my experience, but about adoption. I'm an adopted child. My parents' love, who adopted me, don't know my original mother, went into a home, then I was adopted. Here's the thing, my mum and dad's, who adopted me, their love changed my life. They changed who I was, and that's what adoptive love does. It changes who you are. One day you're this person, and my original name was David Murray. There's a secret for you. David Murray, and now I was taken out of that home as Rupert Higgins. It changed who I was. And that's what adoptive love does. It changes who you are. And that is what God is into. He's into son makers. And I'll show you this in a moment. So here we go into chapter 4. And it seems slightly closely argued. I mean, Paul is quite a sort of technician in his thinking sometimes. He goes from the heights of wonderful truths into sometimes also a bit of hard work to understand kind of how to get to the heights. It's like when you climb a mountain, halfway up you're thinking, why on earth am I doing this? What am I doing? But when you get to the top, you a lovely view and you think, oh yeah, that was worth it. That was worth it. Well, Paul sometimes is a bit like that. So here we go. The first thing to say is about being a child of God, we are first of all deeply wanted. We are deeply wanted. So here we go into the first verse of chapter 4. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. What Paul is saying here is before Jesus, we were kind of still part of, Israel was still part of the family, but it was kind of like a regulated thing under a kind of contract. You know, you follow the law as much as you can and God will bless you. And if you go through Deuteronomy and those books there, there's a lot about that, give and take. And what Paul is saying here is there's something about the immaturity of mankind or the immaturity of how civilization was that made that at the time the way God related to mankind, to men and women. And it was a kind of like we were sort of in kind of infancy. And that's the kind of thing he's saying here, the kind of infancy in the kind of primitive man. Because, of course, you're talking about Bronze Age, you know, Bronze Age man. And it's kind of quite, what you might call quite, it's quite primitive in many ways. And so what he's saying is that they're under some kind of contract, some kind of, you know, sort of almost boxed in. So what you do is with a, you know, 10-year-old, if they, you don't let a 10-year-old inherit £5 million and say, here's your pocket money this week, here's your £5 million. You know, you're in trouble if you do that. And there's a sense of that there. It's contract more than relationship. That's the key here. But we're deeply wanted because careful arrangements have been made. And there's going to come a time when it'll change. And we're deeply wanted, and when the timing's right, look at verse 4, when the time set has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, into that, if you like, contract, income, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. That's a very long sentence. And what Paul is really saying is that those of us, or those in Israel, who were part of Israel, had this contract under law, and it kind of didn't work great because of the human sin. Nothing wrong with the law, it's the human heart. And so what God needed to do was deal with the human heart. And so then Jesus was born from Mary under the law so he could live a perfect life so that we then could be redeemed, that means set free, bought back from, the obligations of that contract because we can't live up to it. You know, we've broken the contract time and time again. You know, you go through the law, Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount. At every point, we've broken the contract. So what do you do with someone who breaks a contract? Well, you take him to court. It's that kind of relationship, but not with God. He says, no, because you've been redeemed from the law, that's so that we might receive adoption to sonship. You see that in verse 5. And that literally, that's a doctrine of sonship. That in the, sorry to sort of blind you with science, but it's important this. It's one word in the Greek, and it means literally son maker. So it's literally that we might receive made to be sons, something like that. He's into son maker, being sons. And when I became a Christian, it was one of the most amazing things for me that, you know, I've been adopted, but the biggest adoption agency in the whole universe is God himself, which is extraordinary. So there we are. We are made because we're deeply wanted. And the thing about being adopted and becoming family, it's relationship, not contract. Because I remember saying to my parents, you know, because I sort of began to discover what adoption meant by, I don't know what age, I was very intelligent, maybe 2. No, it's actually more like 5 or 6, I think. Yeah, they began, because they're very good, they told us straight away, you know, kind of what it was. And suddenly, fives began to twig. I first of all asked, how much did I cost? Nothing. And I was disappointed to know I cost nothing. I sort of, you know, I was free. But the other thing was, I said, you know, can you ever take me back? And they said, no. We can't ever take you out. See, whatever I do, you can never take me back. No, we can never take you back. You are family secure. Your family is secure. And I think I was a lot of trouble from that point for the next 5 years. I really tested that out. I really did in many ways. But we are family secure. And so we've gone from contract to relationship. That's really important to understand. We've gone from being under the law, which is a contract with God, to being free in the family, free in joy. So many of us still live with a contract idea. And we live our Christian lives as if we're still under a contract. It's a bit like the difference between the prodigal son and the son who's still at home. And you remember that parable. Because the key figure, we always think it's about the prodigal son. It is not. The key figure is the elder son. Because Jesus is talking to Pharisees and people who don't understand what Jesus is doing. And he says, you're like the older son. You're around the home. You're dutiful. You work hard. But you're under a contract. You're not living as a son. You don't know what it's like to have the love of the Father in your life. Not because the Father doesn't want to give it to you. It's because you're living as a servant the whole time. Come on in. And it's very interesting because you've got the prodigal son comes home and they throw a party. And then you have that amazing bit in the prodigal son, which we often miss, where it says the father pleads with the older son to come in. Pleads with him. And Jesus, being a wonderful storyteller, we don't know what happened. It's like dot, 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 dot. And we don't know. And so it's a really interesting. And so often, many Christians are living under a contract and not in their relationship. And I think that is the key to joy and peace as a Christian. A lot of us probably go from one to the other sometimes, don't we? We sort of have a bit of a muddle between the two sometimes. But this is what Paul is saying. This is what you should live. You're family secure. And you're so family secure, look, God sends the Spirit, verse 6, of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And we were saying in our home group when we met last week, the word Abba is in fact left from the Aramaic. It's not in Greek because it was very reminiscent of Jesus. And I think so often the writers of the Gospels and indeed the letters, they use words that Jesus used. And Abba was a very reminiscent of Jesus, Abba, Father. Not daddy, not sort of, you know, father in terms of very kind of formal, but somewhere in the middle, about a relationship, Abba, Father. So we come to him as children. And of course he wants to say, I mean, you know, good fathers and children, you have what's called presumed access. I mean, you know, I mean, my Alice Rose, you know, I'm not a perfect father, but she just assumes I want to see her all the time. So she'll burst, whatever I'm doing, she'll burst into the room. She'll burst into the room and say, hello, hi, Dad. You know, and sort of start making me do things that I don't want to do. But, you know, I love her, and we do them. So kind of this presumed access, it's not a contract, it's a relationship, and it's very clear. We're family secure. And Paul is... This is something which is very much part of Paul's thinking. And it's worth just looking in Romans chapter 8 and in the page 1135 in the Church Bibles, Paul's making exactly the same kind of point when he's talking about life through the Spirit. And if you look at the top of page 1135, is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And so the one thing that can lapse us into cold Christianity or cold discipleship is not having that family secure, knowing that we are his children and living in that, not the contract. The thing about religion, in inverted commas, and ceremonial religion, if you're, you know, the danger with it, there's only danger, is it looks like a contract. You come in, you do your things, you do things in the right order, you bow, you scrape. It looks like, it doesn't need to be like that, of course, but if you're not careful, you slip into contract thinking rather than family thinking. And that's when you then depart from the gospel and start adding things to the gospel rather than seeing it as just a gift from Jesus himself or from our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And so the first, that's the final thing. So, you know, we're kind of deeply wanted. We're family secure. And the very last simple point is we should have confidence for life. Because if you go back to our reading, look in verse 7, "You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." And the point about being an heir is you walk in the footsteps of the family. And you kind of do that. So now, you know, I am a Higgins, I'm not a Murray. My mum used to say to me sometimes, "Oh, you're so like your father." You know, well, I've not got one bit of his genes in my body, you know, but he says, "Oh, you're so like your father." You know, you take up family characteristics. I was never like my father. I sort of protest, actually, but no. No, but you say, you know, you take on the family characteristics. The whole point about being an heir is not just about, you know, kind of inheriting. You inherit traits as well. And Paul picked this up in Galatians chapter 5. And so it's all very different to living as slaves or as, you know, kind of as needing guardians with trustees and all the rest of this sort of stuff he's talked about. You are sons and daughters of him. So my big question to you is, how do you live? How do you live? Do you live constantly with guilt? Do you live constantly with a sense that actually, I'm not sure how God will receive me? Do you live constantly with a sense of, I'm not sure how God does love me, or if he's going to love me, or, you know, whether he looks at me and his heart skips? Does God's heart skip when he thinks of me? And for most of us, you think, well, I doubt it. Well, that's because you're not living as a son and daughter. He loves us. We're deeply wanted. We're family secure. And we should be confident for life, living for him. So as we sit, let's pray.